Welcome back. We have callers still on the line. John,
yes.
Are you there?
Yes, thank Joanne.
You. Continue.
Yes, Joanne. Right. Now, Joanne, as I said, I am very concerned about what is happening. And because I have very close contact with young people in Barbados through my teaching assignments, I am no longer teaching at Harrison College, but I am still doing part-time classes at community college. And I encounter a large number of students, and I find that the students speak to me about a number of issues. And our educational system, Joanne, for all the praise we have heaped on it over the years, has now reached a point where it is not serving the purpose that is intended to serve. And that is why we are producing such a large number of young people, who some of whom are semi-literate, not having mastered literacy and numeracy skills, and very many of them not equipped for the world of work or for productive citizenship full stop. And we are seeing the results in the gravitation of a number of these youngsters to persons who make them feel empowered and, of course, giving them a gun and getting them involved in the drug trade. And therefore, when you add to that the fact that a number of the young people have been desensitized to harm through the videos and so on, a lot of our young people don't see any big thing in injuring somebody. That's why if they're mashed by somebody, they see no harm in pulling a knife at them. Persons like me, adults, they would look at, for reasons, I was driving my car recently. I stopped to let a young man pass. He gave me a abusing because he didn't feel that I had stopped fast enough. He told me that he wanted killing. So what I'm saying is that we are producing a number of young people who do not feel that human life is important. They have no problems doing harm to people.
For human
right.
life.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, one of the things that I am very concerned, these are a number of young people who may not be educated and so on, but one of the things, I have a problem too. And I'm looking at a developing problem with educated young people. Joanne, I had a discussion with a number of young people 2 weeks ago who are, what you would say, having passed over tertiary level education. And they said to me, you know, sir, your generation and our parents told us that we should go to school and learn, and we are going to be successful. But do you know a large number of our peers simply cannot find appropriate employment in Barbados? And they pointed to situations not only of unemployment, but underemployment, where you have persons, in fact, a young lady told me that she has a master's degree, but she was working as a cashier at one of the supermarkets. Now, I'm not trying to demean supermarket work. All I'm saying is, really, any secondary school, intelligent secondary school, work in the supermarket. We don't need to spend large sums of money providing tertiary education for our young people then to come and be asked to do that. And the young people have been trained in any case not to see that as work that is profitable to them. I think you would know that we have a number of young people who are very materialistic. They want all of the goodies, even without having to work hard for them. They want the goodies and they want them quickly. And that kind of attitude is influencing the behavior of a number of them. What I fear, Joanne, is that we are going to create a situation in Barbados where a number of educated young people are without work, become frustrated and angry, and strike back at the system. I think, Joanne, that you're an intelligent woman. I think you understand that you have educated persons who can beat the system out there angry and frustrated. I don't have to tell you what could happen in a small country like Barbados.
I have a few questions for you, John.
Yes.
So I went to primary school in the 70s and
right.
secondary in the 80s. And the curriculum then, I believe, maybe same thing now.
Mm-hmm.
What is the difference between What happened then in terms of me going to a primary school and learning the same maths, English, social studies, getting involved in NIFCA? I was very big in NIFCA back in those days. Mm-hmm. And the crime situation and the young people, teenagers, were not, they're not the same as they are today. So the school right. system has not changed in a sense. The world has changed, but the technology, right? But the actual way we teach in terms of the same spelling, 11 plus, and so on over the years, is the same. What has gone wrong? I mean, in terms of there may be more than one thing. Is it that right. the parents are not the same parents right. like my mom back in the right. 70s?
I'm going to respond to this. Mm-hmm. Parenting, Joanne. Mm-hmm. Parenting is a big problem. The parents, a lot of the parents now, would not, as your parents would have done, told you to go slowly to make haste, mm-hmm. you know, to get far. That's not what they're telling them now. The youngsters believe that the world owes them a living and that they have to get this living mm-hmm. now and fast.
But that where are they getting that mindset from? What do you think? Mm-hmm.
Their parents plus the media. Plus social media and so
yes.
on.
Yes, okay, good.
And they're watching on and other people who are supposedly succeeding, and they want to share in that. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, Joanne, the 11 plus exam, I've spoken to someone, so let's say, 11 plus exam has served its purpose.
Yes.
It is now anachronistic, really. And I noted that the Prime Minister, and I agree with her, has pointed to the deficiencies of it, and she said she wants to change. I have written to government, I have written to several agencies indicating that I have some suggestions for change, and I have outlined the change even in the media. So I don't want to belabor that, because there are a couple of things I still want to say about this whole crime situation that I think we need to pay some attention to, and the Prime Minister says she's prepared to listen. I want to offer my suggestions, because I'm a Barbadian, a patriotic Barbadian. I have children, and I am concerned about them mm-hmm. as well. Now,
mm-hmm. go on.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just trying to say yes, because, okay, we have social media, and we see a lot of images and videos, and that will contribute. The video games are contributing. But I also remember watching television back in the 70s and 80s, and there were some programs with some gunplay, and, you know, it was always Westerns. But we didn't walk around shooting people. The closest I believe I came to trying to be a character, I remember my mom taking us to the Globe Cinema to watch Superman. And around that time, there was a hurricane coming. I think it was Allen or something. And in my mind, I felt like if I ran fast enough, I could jump off and fly. But the point is that parents paid attention. So even though you saw these images, what's lacking is the explanation of this is Hollywood and this is real life. Because it was explained to us when we were growing up.
Not so anymore.
The difference. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. A lot of parents, Joanne, even middle-class parents, have no time with any children. They give the children these gadgets. And, Joanne, you may not know, but you know a lot of other middle-class children. You know, I would know because I taught a lot of these middle-class children. You know, I don't know what you give your children, but you know you give the children some laptops. They take them in their bedroom. They have them in their bedrooms. Everybody has his own bedroom.
They don't know what they're watching.
No supervision. The children, when you think the children are asleep, Joanne, they tell me that 2 o'clock in the morning they sit up watching this stuff. They mm-hmm. become desensitized. And they don't, they're now at the point where they're blurring reality with illusion. That is one of the problems that they are having. And as I said just now to you about this, if you have an educated group of young people, you know what damage they could cause in a society if they decide to be rebellious? And we need to watch
When you
that.
Say educated, you mean in what way? Book sense or Book common sense?
Yes. They have tertiary level education. Mm-hmm. And they are frustrated. And they can plan better. A lot of these youngsters can't plan anything. They do what the boss man says. They obey the boss man. But when you get these young, and indeed, a lot of these educated fellas are going to be boss men.
But I just like to define educated, because there's book sense and then there's common sense. If you have a combination of the two, then of course you can rule the world. If you have book sense and no common sense, then I believe that you will not succeed in what you want to do, in my opinion.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. As I was saying, this is a group now that I fear. I am seeing it. I don't want to make any prediction and frighten anybody. But I remember, Joanne, about 20 years ago, I went to a forum and I pointed out that I had seen a shift in the behavior of young people and that it is going to come back to bite us. I was laughed out of court. I was told that I was an alarmist. Mm-hmm. Within 5 years, Joanne, the society started complaining about that kind of behavior. I don't want to. I hope that I'm wrong, but I doubt it.
Well, may I ask you a question? One WhatsApper is saying, how are we staying up to date as a nation with the shift? Because we're teaching the same things. You have to teach maths, English, and so on. To this morning, my preamble, I said I wanted to see more character building than the career building because the character has to come first. One second here. Dennis has to interrupt for a minute.
Yes, thank you very much, Joanne. I could just ask the caller to hold for a second. On the line, I have the chairman of LEAT, Right Honorable Owen Arthur, former Prime Minister Bowes, now professor. Mr. Arthur, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon to you, Dennis, and have a wonderful New Year.
And a Happy New Year to you, sir. There's a report of...
I trust it will be won.
Well, I hope it is for one for you as well, sir. There's a report that the Prime Minister of St. Lucia, I think, was making comments about the situation with LEAT and investments. Is there a comment I can get from you on that, sir?
Well, at our first meeting of the board, when we were discussing the administrative affairs of the board and its appointment of its committees, the board of LEAT has given me the assignment to meet with the leaders of the shareholder government to try to discuss and get some resolutions on the number of matters that only the government can deal with that will be important in making LEAT a more viable enterprise. And I am in the process of speaking to establish meetings with the various boards and governments because they're important. And St. Lucia still have a very small shareholding in LEAT, and I'd be happy to meet with the Prime Minister of St. Lucia to discuss matters in relation to LEAT. There are a number of matters relating to LEAT that only governments can help with. And I'm not putting the responsibility only on government to deal with LEAT's problems, but some of them are, in fact, problems that can only be resolved by government. For example, the public is not aware, but it's a matter of fact that the largest proportion of the cost of an airline ticket on LEAT very often is government taxes, fees, and other charges. And these are things that need to be discussed with governments. And if I could give you a little history of it, there's a report, a technical report done in 2018, and it looked at the magnitude of recent increases in taxes, fees, and other charges charged by LEAT. Charged by governments that bear from LEAT. And let me just take you through some of them so that you may begin to understand why there's a need for us to engage the government. In 1998, the parking fees in Antigua was $14 US and it had risen to $37. In Barbados, they were $12.50 US and it had risen to $30. In Dominica, they were $13.50 and in 2018, they were $22. In Grenada, $18.52, you know, $39. In St. Kitts, they moved from $11.50 to $37. St. Lucia, they moved from $10 US to $77.81. And in St. Vincent, from $11 to $40. And right now, as you can see, these increases in taxes, fees, and charges explain why the cost of LEAT tickets to the traveling public in the Caribbean are as high as they have become. And it is important that if LEAT is going to be put on a more viable put in where more of its viability comes from increased business, the extent to which things like taxes, fees, and other charges has to be addressed. And I think he would agree. And if any Prime Minister of St. Lucia sees this trend, moving from $10 to $77.81 with departure fees, twice as high as any other Caribbean government, I think he may agree about the desirability of having a meeting so that we can seek to find what is in the best interest of Lia and what is in the best interest of the government of St. Lucia. There are other issues that have to be addressed, matters such as the need for a multilateral service agreement to put Lia's operations in the region on the same footing as other carriers, and a number of matters. But the fact of the matter is that Lia has tremendous problems. It is not the only airline that has had tremendous problems, but there are certain discernible things that fall only to the jurisdiction of government. That is, the governments of the region want their citizens to get lower fares, they have to make a determination that they have to be part of the solution. So I have heard Mr. Chastity. I am not going to get involved in a war of words, Mr. Chastity, but it would be good if he could agree that we could meet to discuss these matters, because there, as I said, things that can bear upon the fortunes of Lia are things that fall within the province of the government, and taxes, fees, and charges are one such matter that we want to discuss. The board has asked me to pick up a matter like this on its behalf to discuss with shareholder governments, and I'm anxious to carry out my responsibility as chairman of the board in the context of the mandate. And I am not going to be unkind to Mr. Chastity, as you know. I'm not like that. But Mr. Chastity obviously has an experience that none of us on the board has. He was a former executive of Air Jamaica, and he would have been in a position to help find a way to keep Air Jamaica going when it was making large and mounting losses. And that's precisely the kind of experience that which we want to draw from in having to get Lia to right size and put on a viable footing.
Well, I hope you continue to engage us in the updates on these discussions, Professor Arthur. I take it from what you've said that your recommendation will be a reduction in fees across the board for the islands of the Caribbean.
But there has been a number of studies, and the most recent one, you should really take and read. It was one done by the Aviation in the Eastern Caribbean Report of the Technical Committee of February 2018. And it has made a number of very strong recommendations which will fall to LIAT as an organization and fall to the shareholder governments to deal with. And what needs to be done is to put them one by one in terms of their priority and start dealing with them. And LIAT has not been without a number of studies. What it needs now is very clear, strong action by the board and the shareholder government to put it right. And they say this in the context of the fact that this region needs an intra-regional carrier. And it's going to be very difficult, given the experience of airlines, to make it highly profitable. But we can make it efficient, and we can make it provide a public good, a public service, on behalf of the people of the region at a reasonable price. And we want to start that process. The fares are too high. LIAT has reduced its operating expenses and through restructuring, at great pain to some of its employees. But the thing that has risen most recently are the taxes, the charges, and the fees charged by government.
Thank you very much, sir, and I look forward to hearing some more on that issue from you. And thank you very much for calling us and sharing that with the public. The latest from the Starcom Network News is next.
Welcome back. We certainly look forward to hearing more from Professor Arthur and the reduction of fares on LIAT and a more improved and a more efficient mode of transportation regionally, because we need one and we need to be able to afford to go to visit our neighbors. Just a stone throw away, it should not be more expensive than the trip to Miami or to New York. We also look forward to hearing more from Professor Arthur with the recent appointment that he has, as he is now the head of the newly formed Global Commission on Trade and Development Options 2020 Common Cause. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Finish off now because I know you
Yes. You have to finish off now. Yes.
Let me very quickly say that I don't think they could have chosen a better chairman than Professor Arthur, and I leave it there. But let me just offer very quickly to you a solution to a problem that I was talking about.
We got to wrap it up in 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Oh dear. All right, Joanne. I think what government needs to do is to have a manpower survey done, and then government needs to encourage students to pursue courses that are in keeping with the areas identified. There's no point producing a large number of graduates from UE or any other university only to go into a saturated area. I mean, how many doctors, lawyers, economists, political scientists, and so on do you need in a society? Otherwise, we are going to frustrate more and more people.
Okay.
Right. So I want to thank you, Joanne.
Thank you so much, John. Well, we look forward to hearing from you again, of course.
I will call.
Okay, yes. Thank you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. You're on the
air. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm well. And
you? This is Mohamed Nasser.
Hello, Nasser.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. And it's all family good too?
Family is great, thank God.
Good. All right, I called to talk to the gentleman was telling you before the news about children and young people and things. I really like to meet him, but before I tell what I want to say about him, not about him, to him. Mm-hmm. I think he committed to the improvement of the life of all young people. Professor Arthur was just on the radio talking about Leah, and we know that he's a brilliant mind, so there's no debate about that. But if the taxes on all the governments are putting on Leah is a problem, when the taxes are reduced, and I'd like to hear the professor explain this to me and all of us, if they reduce the taxes, it may know that the government will have to tax the citizens of the country more to compensate for what they will take off if he is good enough to persuade them to take it off. No, I'm not saying it should not be taken off. I just want, as a prime minister for 14 years and so, how that will be dealt with, because obviously we like it off. But if the government needs X amount of dollars to run the country per year and to cut off some, they got to find somewhere to get it back. Would you agree with that?
Well, I try to see if I understand. If the government's contribution through the taxes to LEAT, right?
Yeah.
Obviously. If they cut that, then you're saying that they're going to then find another way to tax the people to get money for them to be able to support LEAT.
Yeah, not to support, but they give to LEAT. In other words, if LEAT is being charged $1 now for landing, mm-hmm. and the government decided to cut it by losing 50 cents, so they charge 50 cents now per landing, the government's now losing 50% of revenue because they've cut the revenue, the cut the taxes on LEAT. I have nothing wrong with that. But listen to what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I want the professor, and I know he can do it, to tell us when those taxes are cut, the government still needs finance to run the country, and they will have less coming in, and the people will travel. Ain't gonna be much more than who traveling now. Because the people who complain about Leah now is who traveling on Leah. 90% of Barbadian people don't gonna be in the Caribbean.
But let me ask you a question now. So, how is that any different to stopping road tax and then putting it on for the diesel or something else? In other words, that's what governments do. They create an illusion. They can still find it. You're right. They'll have to find it. When you stop one, they're gonna find it in somewhere else, which is standard.
But I'm asking the professor
to answer the question.
The professor Alpha does his. Mm-hmm. He ran this country for 14 years, and nobody can complain about his success. He ran it out. So I just want him to suggest where the... There's not a criticism, you know. Mm-hmm. So don't think that I criticize anybody. I'm asking a simple question. If you don't bathe with one type of soap, you can go bathe with another type, unless you can smell bad. So therefore, that is not, the point is, in advising and having a discussion with the Caribbean leaders to Catlia, I am sure that he's qualified to give them advice how to raise the revenue that they will give to Liat, that they'll cut from Liat, and another source. That's all I'm saying. It's not a criticism of nobody, right?
No, you know, we know that. We know that.
Right, good. Now, the next thing. I would like to talk to that gentleman because I think it's people like himself and me and a few more that really should set up some kind of committee amongst ourselves to discuss the problems of this country with this crime and these deviant behavior. It is a simple ABC thing to do, and I cannot understand why it's so difficult for government after government to understand. You have destroyed the industrial sector of this country, and you have destroyed people's will to develop skills to make a living not only in Barbados, but anywhere in the world. You can't get, you go get a university, understand that? And that is the problem. Yesterday, a guy came by me that worked in the last election with me when we put on those billboards. Mm-hmm. He's the only one that worked, and I had to bother him. He just give us, what you want to do? ABC, fine, leave it there. He did it. Now, if you see this guy, his hair is never tidy. He don't look dirty, but he always got on raggy-looking clothes. That's the style, I suppose, for him. And he explained to me that a top construction company in Barbados that he worked for from time to time will not give him a permanent job, but every time they have difficult work to do that the other fellas can't get handled, they call him and ask him to do it, and he go and do it. Now, let me ask you something. You really believe that, you wouldn't know the guy, but you really believe somebody that talent, that when you got serious technical things to do, you call him, but only because of where he looks. He don't look, he don't be dirty, but he, you know, he raggy, because you know how these young peers look. Don't you think it's time enough that young man, well, you won't know what you're talking about, because I want to talk about something further with these same young people.
But when you finish, we got somebody on the line, we can join with you in a second, but continue.
Yeah, so what I'm saying here is this, and it's good. I'm specifically telling you it's good, but the point is, then you see you kind of want to get afraid of him. And they told him, I said to his face, your problem that you have to change your attire, and you will get any job you want in Barbados in your field, but you got to change your attire. Now, that is one. Next thing, if you continue, and I am saying this, I don't care what anybody says, the world develop on technical skills. They do not develop on tourism. For tourists to get down here, airplane got to be made. For the computers to be used, they got to be made. Technical skills, and not only technical skills, skills. Because we say technical, but all skills, as far as I'm concerned, are technical. What you're doing there at the radio station, what Dennis Jones and all the rest you all do, is a serious, you don't just wake up one morning. You got to be planning how to deal with all these people in Barbados, how not to offend them, how to understand what they're saying, and explain it in a better way. Not that you are not God nor nothing. But you know, I mean that to you, not I mean it to anybody. But what I'm saying is, you have to do that. You just can't go in the station and say, well, talk, man, we talk. Well, otherwise, it won't make no sense. What I am saying is, that how long is it going to take this country to understand? And the Caribbean, only this country. Because all of a sudden, and if you don't have, I got to say against tourism. I ain't going to say against tourism, I got to say against tourism, though.
Are you willing to pause for a second?
The sure,
former minister,
okay, you're in control,
former
me.
Minister Dennis Kelman would like to weigh in on the Liat situation. And
sure.
Mr. Kelman, are you
yes,
there?
Yes, please.
Yes, sir.
Yes, please, I am.
Yes. Morning, Mr. Nasser is on morning, the other morning. Line, too.
Yeah. Morning. Well, the point I want to make is that every Caribbean country benefits from the flying of their. It is like saying that we don't want the transport board and that we don't want to pay them any fees, etc. What we have to recognize is that most of the Caribbean countries are tourism-oriented economy. And that the mere fact that they have tinted trees, it creates revenue already for the country. And they have to be very careful that they're not creating a situation for themselves, that they might be depriving themselves by charging these fees and stopping people from come into the country to spend more money than what they are getting from the fees that are being charged. So what I'm hoping is that when these fees are removed, that you'll get more traffic and there will be more economic activity, because the multiplier effect is the greatest.
Right, somebody's got a cell phone on near their phone, so you need to move it, please. Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Continue.
So the multiplier effect of people moving will be greater than the fees charged, because the fees charged will just be a one-off. There will be no multiplier effect risk to the same extent as when you get people coming into the country and spending more money. So it's in the interest of these countries really to remove the fees and create more economic activity among themselves. Because if people do not move, the country cannot benefit. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's the point.
Yeah, I think Professor Arthur, obviously, when he was making his contribution, mainly spoke about ensuring that it's affordable and efficient. And I think that is what he is. But yes, so, well, it's not really the same thing. It can be affordable, but it doesn't have to be efficient, because you can afford a trip, but you can't get there on time. So there are two different things. It has to be affordable and it has to be efficient.
And Joanne, there's a bigger problem, though. Mm-hmm. All the countries in the Caribbean need to understand. They need to understand that Leah is not a liability to them and that they need to contribute. And they need to do an opportunity cost of what will occur if they don't have Leah and what occurs now that they have Leah. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. They are very fast to finance outsiders. Because I found that in the Caribbean, that we seem to appreciate punishing our own and rewarding outsiders. And that is something that we need to change, because we need to understand that when we punish our own, we are destroying our own, but we are also billing somebody else.
Okay. And Nasser, are you there still? Brother Nasser?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm still here.
But I believe Professor Arthur also indicated, I don't think they want to see Liat as a profit-making entity, more or less breaking even entity. At least it's kind of like the bus service, where people are asking, do you want the transport board to be operated as a business where it makes profit, or as a service? And I believe Liat is more of a service to the region to connect people, and not necessarily a money-making venture, but at least to break
there's
even.
No difference between, there's no difference between Liat and transport board.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Look, the point I'm making is very simple.
Mm-hmm.
I can repeat this again.
Mm-hmm.
Professor Alpha has run this country for 14 years, and everybody agreed that he ran it successfully. That is one. Two, all I am saying is that these countries that he will now be negotiating to see if they will, I believe, cut the charges that they put on the citizens to travel on Liat so they could get money to run, not Liat, because they're getting money to run the country, not Liat.
Mm-hmm.
The point I'm making is this. He is good enough, and this is what I'm trying to say. I don't know, it's so difficult to understand.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he is good enough to show them, when they cut the taxes to Liat, where they could regain those taxes without burden on the masses of the country, of the people. That's all they're trying to explain.
Okay, but can I say to you, Nasser,
yeah.
If you
yeah.
drop prices, mm-hmm. don't you get the taxes from the increased volume? If you
that
understand
is,
what I mean. Uh-huh.
All depends, though.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends what you're selling. Believe me, it all depends what you're selling. There are people who could cut their markup on products that will not sell anyhow. So cutting markup alone do not sell. And I do not believe that when Liat, and I hope it do, cause the interest for the business sector. I look at it mainly from the business sector. But if Liat prices are to be cut, business people move more through the Caribbean. But you see, the average citizen, he's looking to go to Miami and New York and that kind of place. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling that some of us don't go. I got family all over the Caribbean, so I go through the Caribbean too.
Mm-hmm.
But I only let you know that the vast majority of Barbadian people traveling, or most people in the Caribbean traveling, looking for America, and looking for New York and Miami
mm-hmm.
to go.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what our Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying, listen carefully what I'm saying, because I don't think it'd be so difficult. I'm not saying that it's difficult for you. What I am saying is, if you don't put on heel shoes, one color you go upon, one another color, or upon low heel shoes or something, but you're not going to walk out in the streets without shoes on unless your head blow. But you have to put on shoes. So all I'm saying is that when the governments of the Caribbean, or if Professor Arthur, and I'm sure he got the ability to get it, do, get them to cut the taxes, because of his vast experience as a prime minister for 40 years in this country, that he would be in a position to advise them how they could regain the taxes that they cut from Leah without the people suffering as a serious result of it. That's all I'm saying.
I understand. I understand you, and I believe we might be saying the same thing in different ways. But I understand you, because for me, and I consider myself the layman, if it is five mangoes at $5, or I want 500 mangoes at a dollar. In other words, you want the volume, and of course, with the increased volume, you can then get, because I can then tax all the mangoes, but you get the increased volume, you drop the prices, you will get then the taxes from the increased volume, but you're still lowering your prices because you're looking at volume. But maybe I seen it in a different way, but forgive me, I'm not the economist. I'm just the average person on the street who can't afford a flight on Liat. So I'm looking forward to those prices dropping and for Professor Arthur to create some miracles as chairman of Liat. But I want to thank both of you. We do have some other people we want to talk to as well. This is Down to Brass Tacks. It's 1 minute after one.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How do you do?
I'm well, and you?
Wonderful in the good name of Jesus the Christ. No, there's two things. One, I can start with the news. At the background to the news are the when they come on to say what the news is going to be, the headlines of the news. Yesterday or the day before, they brought something talking about Moscow. It did not appear in the news. Today, they bring something about Trump. And it did not appear in the news. It's just specific time. I believe that in radio, it probably has specific times that have to finish programs by. But I don't understand, so I have to wait until the 5:30 news or something like that to hear what those two items were all about. That's something that I think that the presenter news should look at. The other thing is, as it relates to these shootings, could we determine, or could the powers that be determine that these shootings are either A, targeted? Because invariably what I've been hearing is that, for example, the one up in Sheraton, somebody went in there and decided to take out the person that they want to take out. If you were in the United States, all the bullets would have been sprayed in that same vicinity and get rid of all them people who were near the shooter. All would have been dead or all would be injured. So one has got to determine, and it has nothing to do with what John Gardner is saying about people going to school at a university. Because what it needs to do is go an analysis of the perpetrators, of those persons who are accused, and see what the age groups are, and I need to determine the targeted people, because it seems to be targeted. And, you know, you could determine, all this talk about shooting or murders and things like that. It's very difficult to implant in somebody's mind when it comes to the devil taking over their psyche. How you can determine, how a government will determine whether or not Joe Blow will go out there and shoot somebody, wake up in the morning and say, he's going to shoot somebody. Very difficult. So, but I think we need to look at the various ages and try to do an analysis of the whole thing about shootings, mm-hmm. and who they're targeting.
You mean, look, but the whole crime situation, in particular with the weapons, the guns, would you agree, and I think that's what you're saying, that you need to look at it in a holistic way?
That's
because
right.
The reason for the upsurge of crime is just not one reason. There's several factors. So which means that there are a lot of agencies, including the general public, that have to be involved in getting this situation wrestled to the ground. One such thing would be the port. How are the guns getting in? Then we have to look at education. What are we doing from that end? Then we got to look from the child care board and these social services in terms of parenting and paradox and so on. Then you have to look at it from that end. Then you go look at it from the psychological end. Do they need help? So we look at it from the health aspect of things. Are they more sociopaths or psychopaths right now than we ever had? In other words, they are different factors. So when everybody is saying this is the reason, it's not only that. There are several factors that are contributing to this. So there are a lot of moving parts. What the government has to do, in my humble opinion, is to make sure there's one umbrella that embodies all of these moving parts to see whether or not we can have each agency responsible to do their part in pulling it together. You're not going to get rid of it completely, but if you do it that way, you certainly can minimize it. But you have to start. Right now, you can't even start with the children first, even though you want to make sure that you could deal with it at the primary school level. If you want an immediate shutdown of the guns, you have to deal with it from the port, and then you have to be able to seize whatever is on the ground. Then we can work with the children. Then we can work and do the psych evaluations. Then we can talk about the parents.
Whatever, great, all that. Let us determine for one moment. Agree all that, the port, et cetera, the cameras, blah, 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 agree all of that. But the current problem is I have the guns, several guns in Barbados already. And we need somebody, the perpetrators of this crime, the persons who got injured or died as a result of that. I think an analysis needs to be carried out on those aspects of the crime. And let us know if they're targeted shootings or how they're perceived to be targeted, random, or what have you. Because all that we've heard in the last 40 shootings, there are not many that seem to suggest to me, based on what you're hearing on the news and the radio stations, that there were random shootings. Most of them would appear that there were targeted shootings.
But let me ask you something. If a brand of cereal